I want to talk to you for a minute about respect. Now, while I'm talking for the next few minutes and reading some scriptures, I'm going to ask for dead silence. Respect. There are those who make effort here, a portion, as I just mentioned, to come at 12 o'clock to be ready in helping to create an atmosphere, so to speak. We don't create it, but through prayer, through praise, through preparation for you to get here at 2 o'clock. And we together enter into a season of worship. If I come later than 2 o'clock, I'm disrespecting those who are here at 12 o'clock. Now, I have nobody on my mind, but I just felt like I wanted to speak about this respect for a minute. See, we're a very forgiving people. And, you know, some people at home, and I remember when it was 5 kids at home, it was chaotic. And there was a lot of noise. 3 brothers wrestling all the time. Okay? And it's easy as a parent to get used to that. And then bring them into an atmosphere such as this where there is somebody talking and 99% are here to hear. Okay? So then, out of respect to the 99, I'm going to be mindful of that. Okay? Of course, the baby's going to start crying right about now. And I'm not, please understand me. We've all been through this, and I'm just wanting us to express some respect for my brother and my sister who is here. Okay? And so I remember Mom sitting on the pew and 5 of us, you know, lined up next to her, and I've told you this before, and somebody spoke up, and she wouldn't look to see who it was. She'd just go, tsk. And if you were leaning forward a little bit too far, you got it. Okay? Now, see what I said? They're all going to start crying right about now. And we love every one of them. And we love them, and we love you, so we're going to be mindful of you. Okay, I've been in situations where I wondered why it had gone on for 10 or 15 minutes. And we all listened to the baby cry or the children, you know, under the pew make a noise, whatever it was. And we couldn't hear the one who was doing the teaching. Okay, so I'm going to exercise respect. I'm not going to say, look, y'all, you just have to put up with me because this is all I got to deal with. We exercise respect one for another. Showing up on time. Okay? And being mindful of those things around me. Now, I haven't looked around to see. I decided not to wear my sweats today. But then again, I'm not going to LA Fitness. Okay? I am being mindful and respectful to you. To you. I'm going to be conscious of the attire. Now, listen, it's not just to measure up to some set of rules or codes of ethic or anything else. It's respect one to the other. See, if I was here in sweats right now, all the attention would be drawn to me. Okay, so I'm not wanting to stand out. I'm wanting to blend in, to be a part, to become transparent, so that when we receive today, we receive from the Lord, because our focus and our attention can be entirely upon Him. All right? I was thinking earlier, I was just going to take the mic and start to sing. All my worship Now, I was doing that a little while ago. But there was no attention drawn to me, was there? Because the time was right. And we were doing it together. And so it was decent and it was in order for all of us to be saying, "Oh, my worship," hoping that you're not tone deaf. Okay? And so now it's a different time together. And so out of respect to you, even though I may be feeling that right now, I'm going to maintain. I'm going to govern myself in attempt to have the Holy Ghost govern me. You understand what I'm talking about? It's out of respect one for another and recognizing time and being sensitive to the Lord, to the Spirit of God and His leading, but also respectful to those around me. Okay. Do we have a sound man? Oh, sorry. He was leaning over. He disappeared. Can you give me 1 Corinthians chapter 14, please? Now, I don't want you to all get staunch and quiet on me the rest of the day here, but sometimes we need to make some adjustments. I've heard people testify how they visited a Baptist church, you know, in some town and walked in the back and it was so quiet and, you know, the preacher was preaching, so he said, "Amen!" And kind of gloating in the whole idea that he had so much liberty that he could do that. And they were so dead that they couldn't do that. In my opinion, it crosses the line of respect. I need to be conscious of where I am. I have a liberty in the Holy Ghost. And the things that I do and the things that I say in the closet might embarrass you. But I do it in the closet. I attempt to pray through before I get here so that when I begin to open my mouth and speak, maybe there's some words that are of the Spirit because I've been waiting on Him, abiding in Him, and that's what we're waiting for. And so there is a witness of the Holy Ghost across the congregation of believers because we have waited on the Spirit of God. That's important. Now, if I was just busy with life and decided that when I got here, wow, okay, it's my turn. I guess I better, you know, and I went to praying in the Spirit and waiting on God and hallelujah and, you know, and you're all sitting out there like, okay, come on. Would you pray through so you can begin to speak to us what the Lord is trying to tell you? Okay, I'm going to be mindful and respectful of you, not to waste or to take your time. When that's something that I should be doing in the closet or in the prayer room, okay? I want to read to you from the setting of Scripture. Brother Pablo Chan read from the chapter just a week or so ago prior to this. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. It's right. It's of the Spirit. It's of God. For he that, next verse. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and to exhortation and to comfort. Praying in the Spirit, speaking in the Spirit, speaking in tongues is right. It's of God. It is the Holy Ghost. Prophesying is speaking under inspiration, but with words of understanding. Same Spirit, but with understanding. Now, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifies the church. So, I will spend the majority of my time in the preparation time if I'm going to be have a part in teaching or singing. I'm going to spend that preparatory time praying in the Spirit, but then the majority of what I give in exhortation should be unto edification, understanding, fruitful, edification to the church. Praying in the Spirit edifies myself. I pray in the Holy Ghost, building up my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Okay. Now, let's go to the next verse. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Verse 6. Now, brethren, I come unto you speaking with tongues. This is Paul talking. He's just come out of chapter 13, talking about, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, the operation of spiritual gifts, but yet lacking what those spiritual gifts should produce in my life. So this is quite a dissertation. We're already into the next chapter. I'm going to go all the way through it with this. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds. That distinction in the sounds is what we recognize by the witness of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you are at the level of understanding, you understand what I'm talking about right now. If my maturity in spiritual things is that I'm still drinking milk, I'm not able to eat meat, then I'm going to lack that understanding. Say, what is he talking about? For the most part, it has been a push to encourage people to enter into the place to have a liberty of speaking in tongues, praying in the Spirit. But now we're going to talk about some balance and some things that we'll not ignore in the Word of God. All right? We don't want to ignore this. We have promoted praying, speaking with tongues. We have pushed for. We have encouraged. We have incited. All right? But now I want to talk about some balance. Because there are certain things and places where I should have a liberty, but it may just not be in the gathering of the saints. You follow me? I'm going to use discretion where I am and who I am with. I have the liberty of the Holy Ghost, but standing in the aisle at Safeway is not the place to begin to exercise. Even if I'm feeling unction, I'm going to wait till I get out to my car. Now, is this the next verse? Okay. And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Not self. Seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. I wait on God in preparation of the vessel, but I don't want the vessel to become the object when I am excelling to the edifying of the church. Let me give you some for instances. Beautifully coordinated worship, being led together. I was wondering, was there anybody that was stood out to you that was standing behind these mics except for what they were wearing today? Anybody? None. But what if one is giving themselves to, they're in their own mind, they're in their own place, they're not singing with the group, they're singing all alone. They're singing good, they're in tune. But there's glaring noise above all. And what is that? It would drive you batty. You would want to fire them. With the exception of the leader who is directing and leading, we hear what? We hear one sound together, and we enter into that sound, and we worship the Lord, and it's beautiful unto edification. Even so, ye, for as much as you're zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding's unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what thou sayest? 17. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul is trying to bring some adjustment here, but at the same time, he is exemplifying and magnifying the whole idea. I speak in tongues more than all of you. But he begins to talk to them about order and using discernment and discretion on where we are. We met here for how many weeks for call to war prayer?
It was a long time,
was the answer. And you who were here among those 40, 50 people witnessed as we prayed together. And there were many times when we were praying in the microphone, speaking in tongues. We weren't waiting for an interpretation. We were praying spiritual warfare. It was decent. It was in order. Because that was what we were doing. We're not doing that at the moment. So I'm going to rein that in. I'm going to use a little discretion. I'm here with you. This is about edification unto the body and all of us. I can be a little extreme at times, I know. And I'm sure there's times when I have violated this wholeheartedly. Forgive me. Thanks, Chris. I'm asking that we exercise ourselves in a fashion that attention is not drawn unto the vessel. When we are here together, it's in beautiful worship unto God, whether it's prayer, whether it's teaching, whether it's singing. When it is done, that attention is not drawn to the vessel, but it entices me to enter into worship of the Lord. That's when it becomes beautiful. Why do you suppose it is that Paul, in addressing the men and women about their relationship, and he commented about women embroidering gold in their hair? Right? That's what they did. Embroidered gold into their hair. He even addressed costly array. What was he talking about? Was it because nice clothes are bad? Gold's bad? No. It's the idea and the concept of drawing attention to me. We want to expel that and exhort and entice people to enter into worship unto him. And when that's done, there is a witness of whatever we're doing, whatever we're saying, whatever we're singing, whatever we're participating in. It's imperative. It's important. It's right. It's decent. It is in order. I want to read just a few more. Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Now, we're using the word in the church like this is the church. Really, what we're addressing is when we assemble ourselves together. Because this isn't a church. This is a roof and four walls to keep us dry. And we have chose to meet here together as the church. And so whether we are at my house, your house, or this house, or a school, or a park, there's discretion to be exercised. Verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. 21. Just keep scrolling with me, follow. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned, unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? See, we joy in our liberty, and we're thankful for that. But we're obligated to use discretion depending on where we are and who is among us. That rubs us the wrong way sometimes. You mean we're going to let them dictate to what we can, No, we're going to let this dictate and teach and instruct. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, and he is judged of all. 25. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done decently and in order. Now, we don't think we're Pentecostal unless we're responding. In some places, it's more liberal than others. Right? I told you not to respond. No, just kidding. We think, and sad to say, I suppose there are some preachers that can't preach without a response. They'll tell you that. Come on, what are you, dead? Come on, Well, that's not here. I was in a situation where a young man had come to a service by my invitation. And he kind of caught me by surprise when sitting down later, I said, so how'd that go for you? He said, we thought you're all crazy. I thought, wow, you put on good. Sure didn't seem that way. But anyway, he said, well, somebody kept speaking out and we couldn't figure out why they, you were talking. Why didn't they just listen to you? Of course, we know what that is. They're amening. They're affirming. Yeah, that's right. Okay. But he coming in unlearned. Just saying. His perception was quite different. A little closer to. We thought you're all mad. Okay. There's a reason why this teaching has been preserved for us unto this hour. Okay? I appreciate the response of people, but there are times when I'm listening to you when I'm trying to talk and I can't even finish my own statement. Okay? Discretion is the key. Witness and sensitivity of the Spirit is the key. Are you feeling the need right now to jump up and amen me? No. Do you have a witness of the Holy Ghost of the things that I'm speaking unto you right now? We don't need each other's assistance. We need his assistance. We need to be hearers and then doers of the word. But we need to be the apostolics that we think we are and walk according to the word. And the buck stops here, as far as I'm concerned. Amen? We all understand each other? Is this recorded? I want it recorded. Send it out to anybody that wasn't here. Please. As a separate piece from the recording for Brother Hart, is that possible? Thank you. Don't want to confuse the two. They'll all be blaming him. We appreciate Brother and Sister Hart and their family, their years of service.